Hi, this is Tina Dietz, the voice of 10,000 Thriving Businesses and host of the Start Something Show. And you're listening to You Leading You with Sean Ackerman.
The key to success in this technology-driven and attention-deprived society is finding your own series of organizational systems. Come along and learn how pioneers and pros do it. Welcome to You Leading You with your host, Sean Ackerman.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back again to You Leading You. I am excited to have as my guest today a woman who worked in somewhat of the corporate world, had a wonderful background in and a degree in therapy, leveraged that with her clients that she utilized. She had acted as a director of business development for the Nyada Institute of Massage. She's grown a number of different things throughout her business world, but one thing that she's done is she had a commitment. She had a commitment to go ahead and help businesses grow. She had actually real insight into go ahead and having 10,000 thriving businesses grow. I'm excited to go ahead and have as my guest because I just got to talk to her for the last half hour without hitting record. I'm very excited to have as my guest today, Ms. Tina Dietz. Tina, welcome.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Did I leave you speechless? No.
No, I'm rarely speechless.
I noticed that. No, but Tina, you've got such a great backstory and I loved reading through it. And I know, and by the way, folks, total disclosure, I bombed out on Tina the other day. We were supposed to do an interview, but we got back together only 2 days later and going to knock this one out of the park today. So.
Well, I'm originally from Buffalo, like I said, so we can forgive the weather.
There you go. Well, you're living in Costa Rica right now, so congratulations.
Thank you. That's one of the reasons I live here is because I'm from Buffalo.
Yeah. When's the last time you saw snow?
Not this past December, but the December before, and it was unpleasant.
Ah, yes, indeed. I saw it today and yesterday and the day before. Yes, I understand completely. Mm-hmm. Tina, let's talk a little bit about you and your backstory. Now, you know, you're a fourth generation entrepreneur. Entrepreneurism was in your blood and really was something that was within your family. And as a matter of fact, I'm reading on your website too, you were answering phones at the age of four. So being put out there and being put on the spot was something that had begun early on. Tell me a little bit about, you know, growing up and the person that you were becoming.
Well, you know, it's interesting. My parents' business was downstairs. We lived upstairs. So that's why I started answering phones when I was so young and going to trade shows when I was six or seven, because I was an only child and it was just there. So I always kind of viewed my parents' business as an older sibling that I was competing with. I wasn't particularly interested in it, not just because they were selling wood burning stoves and fireplaces. So not a real topic of interest for a young child. And knowing what double wall stovepipe is in kindergarten doesn't make you popular. So it was one of those things where I kind of absorbed the business because I was in the business and was constantly privy to conversations, constantly having employees in my home, basically, as I was growing up. And it really wasn't until after graduate school when I went out really, you know, full force into the working world that I kind of discovered that I was a bit of a purple squirrel. You and I were talking about this earlier, and that I didn't know about the working world is that most people are not particularly self-motivated or entrepreneurial. They're pretty content to toe the line and do their thing and do their job, do it well, mm-hmm. But not necessarily to make changes.
Well, they're part of the herd, and it kind of goes outside of the paradigm maybe that they've lived in. And again, you grew up around entrepreneurism. I grew up with two blue collar, you know, or blue and white collar workers, and I saw my parents working nonstop growing up. And of course, I thought to myself too, this is what I must do. I must go ahead and join the rest of the lemming race.
Yeah, and I grew up with, you know, pretty much the opposite, which was very much, particularly from my father, has a very rebellious nature. You know, just kind of like, you know, forge your path and do your thing and do it your way and all of that kind of thing, which I really wasn't thrilled about growing up because it seemed my friends would say, well, you're a Taurus. You know, I'm kind of grounded and earthy and, you know, and I like to have people over for dinner and all of that. So that whole kind of competitive, you know, get out there and make it happen. isn't so much what motivates me. It, for me, it much more comes from a place of creativity. Mm-hmm. And wanting to create, wanting to leave something and wanting to create more beauty and all of that. So it wasn't until later when I was working for these working in the educational world and working for universities and all of that, that I kind of found out, much to my chagrin at the time, that I was kind of unemployable because I was constantly finding ways to do things better. Mm-hmm. And in the world of academia and in the world of education, that's not really great. And I have had friends who have spent a lot of time in corporate who have said the same kind of thing, that it wasn't really appreciated. So, I quite honestly, I mean, I did things like I got fired once for being too enthusiastic. I'm not joking.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. I do find that hard to believe that a business wouldn't want to go ahead and have that kind of energy inside it. But then again, I'm a high energy individual and people do kind of look, I don't want to say down, but they do look at me strangely sometimes as though I walk in the morning and I sing zippity doo-dah as I'm coming down the hall, skipping away. And they're like, I just woke up. But, come on. You woke up today. Congratulations. Tomorrow, yes. You might not.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's one of the things too that, you know, I love for myself and I want to spread it too, just like you do. It's like, we want other people to kind of see what we see and feel what we feel about, wow, there's so much cool stuff happening and look what you can do. You've got all these tools because you're a human being and you have this cool brain and you got stuff and, you know, and all that. So, you know, we get excited.
Well, but now, okay. So you grew up in that entrepreneurial world, but then you ended up going to school for therapy. So at some point, did you think that you were going to start up your own practice and that's the avenue you wanted to go down? You wanted to set up a professional service? Is that what your thought process was?
No. Interestingly enough, what I was really called for, I worked for an international leadership organization for 2 summers when I was in college. And it really changed my life. It's an organization called Camp Rising Sun, the Louis August Jonas Foundation. And I mention that because I want everyone in the universe to support this foundation.
Make sure you send me the link. It'll be in the show notes.
I will. Basically, they bring together on a fully scholarship basis teenagers from at least 30 different countries all around the world. And for an 8-week experience near the Catskill Mountains, and there's also another camp in Europe as well. And basically, these teenagers run the camp. It's all based around humanitarian goals and the spirit of cooperation and learning basically how to be a servant leader. And when I did those 2 summers, it changed me in a way that I really wanted to work with that energy of adolescence and change and transition and finding your path. And I ended up working with a group of people who wanted to start a not-for-profit in the Western New York area where I'm from. And we ended up starting 2 teen leadership centers that I ran for some time. And then I also started worked for a couple of colleges in the area, both teaching and developing programs to help both college students, adult learners, and high schoolers kind of find their path and find the where they wanted to fit in the world.
I've got to ask you, and I'll ask you offline, Tina, because one of the goals that I have with creating a business is a certain component of giving back or tithing or just making sure that whatever I'm doing has an impact on not only on organizations and people, but also on the community that I surround. And one of my goals that I'm actually staring at my board is to actually have a leadership really, maybe not just a leadership class, but really a leadership center in the local Hudson Valley area where I can teach kids, teenagers, college students, you know, not only life lessons, but also focus for their life.
That's really cool. Well, this is in Rhinebeck. So.
I grew up in High Park.
Well, there you go. Oh. So I'll hook you up.
Yeah. And by the way, everybody listening in Australia is going,
where's that?
So that's just it. That's inspirational to me because you're affecting the lives of people that may not have that kind of direction and path in their life.
Exactly. And that's where it started for me. And it's very interesting because all of the things that I developed with the teenagers, and it's funny, and they're all adults now. Many of them have children of their own. And thanks to the wondering glory of social media, I'm in touch with a bunch of them. And it's so gratifying to see them putting things into their lives and into play that you know, they may not have had access to, or they may not have thought of earlier. And there's been more than one time in my life where either the young people I worked with at the camp or with the teen centers that I ran will send me an email or call me and said, I heard you in my head today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually a good thing.
Yeah.
And to know that I had the opportunity to make an impact like that just makes me hunger for more.
Well, then you took that and you started building on training programs for colleges as well. And you continued to move forward with the identity of, I need to help people find their identity, find out who they are, help to guide them down a path.
Yes. And it was still that same energy of transition, of now what? What do I do now? I want this. How do I get there? And, even for, you know, for someone who, we had a couple of major company closings in the Western New York area. And I worked with several, industries in the utilities business, large, large companies, to help design programs to transition folks into these very high paying jobs in these utility companies. And that was a blast.
Well, and then obviously working with the utility companies, you know, different paradigm. Or were you actually helping, were you helping to bring that, maybe bridge the two together? So you actually saw these young individuals and to help with maybe entry level leadership based programs?
Well, a lot of the folks were adults who had been laid off from company closures and were now transitioning into a brand new field. So they had to go and through this entire re-education process to learn a new trade.
Okay.
And I really got a huge appreciation because I'm a nerd. I'm an academic by nature and I love to learn and I'm all of that. But what I really learned through the process of working with folks who were, in the technologies and in the trades and all of that was that the whole hue and cry of, you know, schools to push everybody into a 4-year college is extremely misguided. And I could get on a real soapbox for hours about that, but the real world experience of it is that the United States in particular, and even globally, skilled trades are actually heavily, heavily needed, and I really developed an appreciation for that.
Well, and I love the fact that really your focus and one of your guiding passions at that point was the fact that the power of transition and change in people's lives, even though sometimes change can be so difficult and for an individual, they may not ever be able to see it until somebody helps them to see that they can learn a new trade, learn a new skill, write a book, you know, do whatever they want to do in life, that's something that really empowered you.
Yeah, it's really my favorite energy to work with and to be able to have people be comfortable with being uncomfortable in that space.
Well, and at what point did you say, okay, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do this for me, and it's going to be Tina Dietz that's going to be doing this.
It was a multi-step transition for me as well. I kind of couldn't help myself with starting businesses. Mm-hmm. Every time I started a hobby, I ended up monetizing it. And it just got to the point where I said, okay, I got to do something with this.
What were your hobbies? I have to ask.
Well, when I had my son, he was extremely colicky and he was basically made of Velcro. So I had this child that I had to have on my body 24 hours a day or he would scream.
Mm-hmm.
And I can hear some of the nodding from parents out, in the audience. And, I discovered something called baby wearing through that process and, the glory of my first baby carrier finally having hands again. And I got very passionate about it, started studying it and the psychological processes of it and realized that no one in my area was either selling carriers or teaching other people how to do this. So I started doing it. And then I ended up, finding out there was this whole community of baby wearers around the world and most of them had absolutely no business acumen whatsoever. So there were these incredible women making these amazing products and working themselves to the bone and not actually making any income from it and spinning their wheels. So I just kind of naturally started coaching them about some of the business aspects of things. And this is again where I had all this background knowledge that I didn't even know that would be particularly useful or that I had even accumulated because it was so much water to the fish for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, after I let that business go, I had a couple of friends approach me for coaching on their own businesses. And it really kind of snowballed from there. In addition to working with the Niyata Institute of Massage and developing that business, which is a family business.
Okay, so at that point, and I love that, the fact that it kind of found you and it continued to scale up because of the opportunities that were presenting itself. At what point you continue to pull new clients on board? At what point do you say, you know what, I'm going to be the voice of 10,000 thriving businesses?
Well, 10,000 thriving businesses came from I was in a two-year-long, pretty intensive leadership program that my husband and I decided to do together. And as part of the course, one of the things I was finding with the side businesses that I was starting, the baby wearing one wasn't the only one, was that I would get bored with them. And I felt like I kind of outgrew them very quickly. And I had a mentor at the time who was mentoring me in this program who said, Tina, you have to create something that is going to be big enough that you can't possibly do it on your own and you might not be able to finish it in your lifetime. If you create something like that, you'll never get bored.
Okay.
And so I had a dream a couple of nights later, because this was really rattling around in my head and my subconscious was being helpful. And I woke up in the morning crying because I had this image, this dream that people who own small businesses, which really is, you know, the engine of the economy, contrary to what the news might tell us, were happy and thriving and loving what they did and making a great living doing it. And they were bringing that home to their families. And I had this image of a parent leaning down to their little child and saying, you can do what you want to do and you can make a great living at it. And there was this truth to what they were saying.
Wow.
They were telling the truth to their child. And I had this image of, you know, these generations of people growing up with that message and that truth. And so for me, 10,000 thriving businesses, yes, it's about people thriving. Yes, it's a great tagline, all of that. But really what it's about passing it on to the future generations so that when we tell our kids, you can do this and you can make a great living at it, we're telling the truth so they embody that into their own adulthood and beyond.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I mean, I think we were definitely talking before, and you know, I have a couple of young daughters and they saw me working as a madman in the corporate world. Now, of course, they see me working as a madman in the corporate world and doing the podcast and coaching and everything else. But they look at me and they say, you're a different person. They articulated a slightly different way. But Dad, you're a lot happier, you know, and I'm working, you know, now another 20 or 30 hours a week than I was previously full time. And yet I'm still energized by it. And my kids see that. And I love the fact that not only am I leaving a legacy for them, but those valuable lessons are there also.
Exactly. And my kids are around me too. I have a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old. And, you know, I try to include them as much as I can in what I'm doing and, in the skills that I'm learning to kind of pass on to them, because the world that they grow up in, you know, is going to be a world where, you know, they're going to need to forge their own way and kind of be purple squirrels, be jacks of all trades so that they can, you know, pick and choose what they want.
Yeah. And I think that's very true. You know, entrepreneurism, and we know that it is on an uphill, climb in popularity. You look at Shark Tank, you look at The Profit, you look at people, you know, focusing on this and focusing on the ability of entrepreneurism, or you look at podcasting, for example, where you have gentlemen making $100,000 in a monthly period, or an author who will go ahead and self-publish a book and sell 100,000 copies and all of a sudden be, you know, tremendously famous as well as wealthy. You know, there's huge opportunities there.
Exactly. And not only that, but I think it was on Gallup I saw it, that they estimate that something crazy like 30 to 40% of jobs are either going to be contract or freelance in the next, you know, 10 years from now.
Well, and I've worked in a space that hires blue collar. And I mean, part of the focus has always been, you know, you look at the cost of benefits, you look at the cost of to maintain an employee, and it is expensive to go ahead and maintain an employee with ever increasing health benefits, with insurances and things of that nature. So yeah, it makes sense that businesses are going to make financial decisions, not necessarily human decisions, but financial decisions to have their businesses survive. And those are difficult decisions to make. It's really going to be incumbent upon people to, as you said, create their own path in life or supplement their own path in life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Even here in Costa Rica, one of the things I've noticed about being around Costa Ricans that I love, and it's one of the things I adore about the country, is there's a very entrepreneurial spirit to Costa Rican culture. Most Costa Ricans make about $500 a month, and it's not an inexpensive country to live in. But what makes it all work is that there's such a focus on family and cooperation. That's one piece. And then the second piece is most Costa Ricans are very entrepreneurial in spirit and usually have multiple income streams to kind of supplement what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's just it. Whereas in, you know, the States, it has always, you know, you look at my parents are, you know, 50, 60, well, my parents are in their 60s. But, you know, I look at how they grew up and it was one job, one single income coming from one job, or both of them were working, but it was, you know, insulated within one stream of income. And in this day and age, you've got to diversify. I mean, if anything, if any financial business book will teach you, it's not to go ahead and put all of your eggs in one necessarily a basket, because in this day and age, that rug can be pulled out from underneath you.
Exactly.
No. So now, so not only are you the voice of 10,000 thriving businesses, it's really the voice of 10,000 to me. It's the voice of 10,000 whys, you know, cause you're really getting to the heart of helping a business to blossom and grow. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's absolutely accurate.
Good, good. And I like that, cause I like, you know, is reading through the reviews on the site from some of your clients and how you've actually affected their businesses. It is really interesting that you're able to take that degree that you have in therapy, and it does lend itself to human nature to really connect with an individual, to be able to extract from them the rough course of where they want to go and help to hone and position them in a place of success.
Yeah, I love combining all of that, because so much of success is not procedural. You know, there's all of the business skills that go along with that, but the business skills are, you know, it's trainable and it's learnable. It's our humanity that we butt up against all the time. So, I mean, the clients that I work with are people who are evolving not just as business people, but who are evolving as human beings in their identity, who love their community, who love their families, who want to live a really nice lifestyle and not work themselves into the ground. And so I always say, you know, just so you know, you may start a session with me talking about your sales page, and we may end up a session with you having a breakthrough about your mother, just to warn you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but guess what? They make some realizations during that, and then it can help every aspect of their life move forward.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's one of the common misconceptions behind coaching or consulting, is the fact that, you know, you're paying somebody to tell you something that you should already know. Well, guess what? The reality is, as human beings, we're blind to our own conditions.
Oh, totally.
You know, and that's where we need to go ahead and have someone. We need somebody sometimes to point out the obvious to us. Hey, you're going down the wrong path. And you even know you're going down the wrong path, but you can't convince yourself of it. Or this is what you need to do for success. And it's like, oh, epiphany. Here I am. Here's what I need to do in order to go ahead and move forward.
Exactly. And it works on both sides of the coin. We habitually fall into patterns that don't serve us. And we also habitually fall into patterns where we can't see where our own genius is.
Mm-hmm.
So either side.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it. I mean, the one thing that so many, and it's interesting, I've only been on this journey for about 18 months. And one component of this journey is the fact that I've become friends with so many people. And we talked about that a little bit before the episode, but you know, back to Jim Rohn's, you know, surround yourself with five people. You're the sum of the five people that you surround yourself with, so to speak. But, and I love the fact that I always want to be the dumbest person in the room so I can continue to learn. It's fantastic, but the one thing I notice is I also miss a lot of the people that I started out with, because I think there also has to be a degree of tenacity and dedication to what you're doing, and it really ruts out the individuals that are looking at for a quick flash in the pan or a fly by night or a miracle overnight, because those don't come. You know, those startup businesses that are there, you know, there are some that all of a sudden will wake up one day and, you know, be millionaires, and that's fantastic. That's the lotto. The reality is, the person that puts in 5 years, 10 years of hard work is the one that's going to reap the rewards of that.
Very true. And, you know, and the journey, just like you're finding, even though you're working more hours, you're happier.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of hours that we work is not equivalent to our level of happiness. Happiness is so much More than that. And I was just interviewing, Marcy Shymoff, who is, you know, one of the world's leading experts on happiness. And, you know, we were talking about how happiness as a state of being is something that we can evoke on a moment's notice if we really choose to.
Mm-hmm.
We can do it physically. We can do it emotionally. We can do it mentally. There's all these things that we can do to put ourselves into that space. And, it's not fooling ourselves. It's not false thinking. It's not pie in the sky. It's a matter of choosing something else. You know, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one last traveled by.
Absolutely. And yeah. The one that I actually, it's very interesting you say that. I just wrote an article for the Good Men Project. It was a Yoda quote. Okay. Cause they're doing little inspirations, but it's do or do not, you know, there is no try. And, yeah. And I actually reference back to Henry Ford and, obviously Henry Ford's, focus is on whether you think you can or you can't.
You're right.
But at the end, I actually referenced back to, Robert Frost's poem. And I said, you know, I came to a divide in the road and I took neither. I looked up to the sky and I took the third path and I'm happy along the journey.
Well, it's the true definition of an entrepreneur, somebody who doesn't want to work 40 hours for someone else, but will very happily work 80 for themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I got to ask you, your business and your focus in coaching, you know, where, okay, first of all, who is your purple cow audience? Who are the people that you focus on?
Well, they're purple squirrels.
First purple squirrels. Oh, purple cow.
I like squirrels.
I got to stay away from Seth Godin.
Cows are okay here, but my squirrel tribe are, they're usually, people who are in the service industries, who really highly value, family and community, who want to make a good living, but also live a lifestyle that is good for them, that is healthy for them, that feeds them. I'd call it a business oasis. A business oasis is a business that not only feeds the people who come as your clients and customers, but also feeds you as the owner on multiple levels. And, they tend to be, you know, professionals because I spent so many years in the massage industry. I work with a lot of massage therapists, chiropractors, coaches, speakers. I've worked with people in more than 20 different industries, you know, real estate, you name it, financial advisors. It really kind of runs the gamut because it's all about what people are looking to create in their lives. And those, that usually falls into more time, more income, and, those are the two big ones. And then third one's usually a certain type of lifestyle because they see that I'm doing things like living in Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm.
So.
but all of a sudden they're living what is, you know, they're living. They're actually working within a passion, which again, at that point, you know, if you love what you're doing, you don't have a job. It's not exactly the way it goes, but it's pretty darn close, you know, but seriously, I would look at it that way because every day I would love to get up and record an episode, coach a client, help somebody and see the path. And again, that is really, I think at the end of the day, a huge satisfaction. Okay, let me back up a little bit more. I was actually, beginning of my journey, I actually sent a, email in and I wanted to be on this kind of help find your path, podcast. And on the podcast, you know, it said, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I want to help people. And it was kind of a period at the end of the sentence. And they were like, well, what do you mean? And then I articulated a little bit, but everybody wants to help people. But I think that's really incumbent upon us as entrepreneurs is that what I want to do is I want to help people to reach a certain point in their life or reach a goal. And my satisfaction comes from seeing the culmination, the journey, and then the final outcome. And I think that's important for anybody. Even if they're building a product or they have a service-based industry or they're writing a book, their outcome and what they want the customer to feel is key.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, I struggled with the whole niche, you know, create, you have to have a niche, you know, that whole conversation as much as anyone. And, you know, we're human beings. We're not turkeys. We don't have pop out thermometers. We're never done.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, now for me, I'm going through, an evolution as well because, you know, my clients tend to be folks in their, about their first 5 years of business. They're in a transition. They're either just getting started or they're really in it, but struggling, you know, and they really feel the need for guidance or they're not getting any sleep or some combination of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Or occasionally it's folks who have been in business for a long time and really want a reinvention. So it's that energy of transition. But I realized, it was last year now, I was in development, wanted to develop a show because my very favorite thing in the whole world, my entire time growing up when I was a kid, was my tape recorder and my microphone. And I, the first time anyone ever put a microphone and a tape recorder in my hand, I was 2 years old, and I immediately started walking around interviewing people like a little mini Phil Donahue. And, but it took me until I was 40 to actually plant a flag in the ground and say, yeah, I'm gonna do this. I'm connecting people with all these resources and these experts that I know in my circles of influence and all of that, because what I didn't know was that I had adopted a belief from, what I thought of a business coach I had had a bunch of years ago told me about startup businesses. Mm-hmm. I was talking with a friend of mine, this is last year, who was a very successful podcast. They were giving me some advice. And they were asking me about, you know, what I loved. And I started sharing about the energy of creation and transition and developing the snowball and getting things going and then the momentum and helping people getting past their fear. And he said, wait a minute. I don't see any of this on your website. You're a passionate person and I've never heard you speak this passionately about something. Why doesn't say anywhere that you work with, you know, kind of startup businesses? And I had this moment where I remembered years ago when I had first started coaching that, I had had a coach basically, what I came away with from the conversation, let me be responsible about that, was, you know, don't work with startups. They don't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
And I had somewhere in my subconscious embedded that. And then I looked at my clients and all the people that I had served over the years and went, oh my goodness, why aren't I actually saying what I'm doing? All of these people are basically been in this space of creation and transition and really developing momentum. And so that's where it all came together for me, to really stake my claim in this space of helping people start something.
Well, and that's just it. Sometimes that's all we need is that additional push or point in the right direction from people. And that's, and I love the fact that we're talking about this because this is a journey for you. I mean, you're now going to have your show that's going to be coming out, and let's talk about that a little bit. And let's talk about the Start Something show.
Oh, I'm really excited.
I know. Well, you were already doing the segue. You beat me to the punch, by the way.
Following your lead, that's all. But the Start Something show I'm super excited about because I know so many wonderful experts, and they have agreed to kind of come down to the startup level and share more about how they got started and some of the key things that they did to, you know, overcome their own blocks and their own stories. Because, you know, we sometimes put these folks up on pedestals because of their success.
Mm-hmm.
But the only difference between someone who's just getting started and them is time, experience, and perseverance.
Well,
that's really what's there. So we're really digging into, how really wonderful experts, you know, you may have even, you know, screwed up and then come back from that. And how do they do that?
Well, I know one of your favorite topics is failure.
It is actually, because it's a transformational topic. Nothing transforms us more than failure if we let it, if we just take it and run with it and make adjustments. You know, some of the research that's been done on successful people and successful entrepreneurs is one of the key traits, not just perseverance, but being willing to make changes as they go. And when I was interviewing Dr. John DeMartini, he said, I don't look at things as in my way. I look at them as on the way.
I love that, by the way.
I just love that.
Oh, I mean, and that is so profound, and really it's just simple, but it's so true, is that, you know, how we perceive what's in front of us and what's around us really makes a difference in how we will approach it and overcome it.
Exactly.
Oh, no, I do. I love that. I mean, it really is a focus for people, when they're attempting to go ahead and try to do something, that if they just try, and this is the one thing that I always, you know, I just saw this again, and I love this, you know, one is greater than zero. So obviously, if you do nothing, you'll achieve nothing. If you do one little thing, you'll be one step closer to achieving something.
Exactly. You know, you can often just deal with an experience with four questions, you know, what worked, what didn't work, do I want to keep doing this? And if I am going to keep doing this, what's one tweak or change that I'm going to make going forward?
Yep.
It's a quick debrief.
Well, and that's just it. If you can look at anything that happens around you, you know, with that failure, and I'll use failure as a positive, you look at that failure and say, okay, you know, this is what happened. Well, I didn't achieve X. You know, well, why didn't you? Well, let's look at the reasons why behind it. You know, do you want to keep doing this? You know, and in the end, you'll come up with a determination of which way to go.
Yeah. And, you know, so many things, are things we think we have to do or that we should do. And it's often not the case.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're developing a business, because there's a lot of, you know, follow my blueprint or follow my formula or follow, you know, yeah, I'm going to make you a six-figure business in 90 days. And I honestly, I can't stand all that.
Yeah.
It drives me nuts.
Well, in full transparency, what people want is full transparency. You know, they want to know, they want that $1 million. They want that $100,000 a month income. You know, they want that big sale, that big book. But again, it takes determination, dedication, and effort in order to go ahead and get you there.
Exactly. And you know, so many folks, if they knew what actually went into some of that, they probably wouldn't want it because I probably wouldn't jive with the lifestyle they want to live.
I got to take a look and see what our episode number is, but I know that I've already released up to 75 episodes, which are generally anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour. And every episode, it does take some amount of time to go ahead and do, not only in post-production, as well as the website and getting that updated, you know, and just a brief, you know, so every episode is a little bit of time and energy. And I look at what I've accomplished over the last year. And I'm very proud of the dedication that I gained to it. But some people are, you know, they'll look at that going, wow, what's the payback? And I look at the payback is I've got 75 plus great conversations with people that have a story that can relate to many different individuals as well as be a legacy for myself or my family. So that's the outcome. That to me was the positive that came out of this, but I put the effort into it in order to achieve it.
Exactly. And not only that, you know, you're paying it forward and you're also of a group of individuals that you can go back to and develop those relationships.
Absolutely.
Because all business and any development, any reaching of a goal is largely about relationships.
Yeah.
And allowing yourself to be contributed to, as well as making requests, as well as having conversations and all of that. You know, one of the worst mistakes I see people make is them feeling like they have to have their superhero cape on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the vulnerability that we learn.
Yeah. I told you my backstory before we began, and I found that to be very true. I found that I've learned more in my vulnerable state and been more successful in that state as opposed to being Superman who thinks he can accomplish everything within the world.
Exactly. I mean, I'm basically unemployable, I always tell people, because I actually got fired once for being overenthusiastic. And I'm not joking. And
it blows my mind when you told me that.
I know. It was just crazy. But, you know, when you're like me and you go in and you're the type of person who can, I can go into an organization and I see things very quickly. I see where the gaps are in systems. I see where the issues are in relationships. And my natural inclination is to go in and make an impact so things work better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not everybody likes that. And, early on in my 20s, in certain environments, like, working for a large, motor company, being a 24-year-old woman in a table of men and asking one, when are you going to have that done by, doesn't go over very well. But, you know, to me, it was a very natural question.
Right. Absolutely. You know, but then, but you know, it's, Yeah, I don't know quite how I want to say this, but it goes back to making sure that, and I talked a few moments ago about the end result. For me, I'm a huge story guy. I love reading. And I love reading a long book, or I love reading a series of books where it's a journey. And yes. Too many folks focus on the end. And to me, that's always the worst part. You know, it's not reaching it. I'm hoping for a sequel at the end because I want to continue on a journey. And that's how I think life needs to be.
I couldn't agree more.
I always include my You Leading You moment in the show. And, you know, again, I've loved talking to you, by the way, today, Tina. It's been great. I'm glad we did connect.
It has been awesome.
It is great. People are like, oh, great. I'm going to fire both of them. They're too bubbly. But in all seriousness, you know, You Leading You is about success. It's about self-leadership and how you get there, the organizational systems that you put in place, you know, whether it's morning routines, whether it's, you know, using things such as Evernote, whether it's mindset. For me, and everybody interprets it a slightly different way, but how do you achieve the success that you do?
Wow. Well, there's so many moving parts to that, but I want to leave everyone with something concise. And for me, what has contributed most to my success has, I'll give you twofold. One is in continually expanding my capacity to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. I think I mentioned that concept a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. And stretching myself outside of my comfort zone, whether that's in conversations, whether it's the size of the group of people I'm talking to, whether it's in making a phone call and not being sure what the outcome is, and you know, allowing myself to expand that way, because I look back on, you know, where I started and what my roots were and the people I was talking to and the thoughts I was having at that time. And now years later, almost on an invisible basis, it's a whole different level that you play at when you allow yourself to kind of go there, to go to the uncomfortable places, to open the closed door, to try something new. My mom gave me a really great piece of advice years ago when I was feeling really, really nervous about, I can't remember who it was I was going to be talking to. She said, Tina, they can't eat you. And I always remember that to this day, because I have had situations where I have been embarrassed. I have felt humiliated, where I have stuck my foot in my mouth more times than I can count. And I am still here. So, you know, we feel like, oh my goodness, if that happened, I would die. But the truth is we don't. It only helps us grow.
Yeah. The human fear factor tends to be such, you know, is the ultimate roadblock. And fear and failure are two things that need to be synonymous. And actually, I tend to look at failure as a way to crush fear. And that's really the way I approach it, is that I'm going to go ahead and attack this. I don't know what the heck's going to happen. I really don't know what the heck I'm doing, but I'm going to go ahead and attack it. And you know what? Oh, I made a mistake, but I got 3/4 of the way there. Hey, success.
Yeah. No. There's actually a real value in having a little bit of foolishness when you're starting something new, to allow yourself to kind of be naive, or to be like that small child who takes 3 steps and falls down and then laughs,
yeah, like
right?
That.
And not take anything too seriously. Do we have time for a quick 2-minute story?
Sure.
All right. I just finished reading Malcolm Gladwell's David and Goliath, and this one particular story really stood out for me. I wanted to share a little bit about the Blitz in World War II in London. So for those of you who aren't familiar with that, the Nazis basically decided that London was a major target, and they were going to terrorize the UK by dropping bombs nonstop on London, and basically destroyed it is what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the British government put in all these contingency plans because they figured that emotionally and psychologically, the entire population was going to be a disaster, that they were going to be an absolute mess. They built psychiatric hospitals. They had all these contingency plans to deal with this aftermath of the bombing. But what happened was, is people survived. Yes, people died, but by and large, people survived. And what they found was the opposite was true. People became more resilient. They became more fearless because they had lived through something terrible and come out the other side of it. So now they had a capacity to deal with bombs dropping from the sky. So, the hell with it. You know, it'll be fine. And, you know, there's even interviews where people said, well, why don't you leave? The bombs are coming. And the people would look back at the interviewer and say, what, and miss all this? And there's incidents after incidents after incidents of that happening. It kind of goes back to that old saying, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Absolutely. There's a real kernel of truth in that. So the courage, you know, that we develop comes from, you know, stepping into the fire and stepping through it and realizing that we might have gotten a little singed, but we came out.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. And you know what? It's very true. It's so true that from a perseverance standpoint, I mean, you look at, you know, we look at cavemen and fire, you know, ooh, fire bad. but eventually, ooh, fire good, yeah. You know, and you think about it in the simplest terms. It's very true. A child learns the same way and we forget that somewhere along the way.
Exactly. Yeah. It just, you know, the mistakes are just part of the game.
No, absolutely. You know, what's coming up, and I know we talked about the Start Something show, but what's coming up in the near future for you?
Yeah, the show, the startsomethingshow.com. I've got some great guests, really top-notch experts coming to share, and the website is the startsomethingshow.com. And we're going to be offering up a lot of resources for folks. Obviously, we deal mostly with folks who are entrepreneurial, but it really has to do with making changes in your life, getting going, starting something, and not letting yourself be stopped. So that's where we really want to be a hub to support people in creating that life, that business, that career, that body, that relationship that they really, really love.
Excellent. And then they can also reach you at your current website at thisistinadietz.com.
Absolutely. And I know, you know, these recordings are always evergreen, so that link's never going to go away.
And we'll make sure that we put everything in the show notes from your Facebook page to your Twitter feed, to your address. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, we'll definitely put everything in there to be able to reach you. Tina, you know, I've really enjoyed the time with you today.
That would be great.
No, definitely. I'll definitely include anything in there. And if there's anything that you can think of that you want to share with the audience, we're probably a couple of weeks out from the time of this recording. So just let me know and I'll make sure that we include them in the show notes for all of our audience.
That's awesome. Perfect.
No worries. Tina, it's been my pleasure to have you on the show today.
Same here, Sean. Thanks.
All right, folks, another wonderfully exciting, invigorating, and you know what? Maybe just a little bit bubbly episode of You Leading You. Enjoy the time. Folks, we'll see you on the next episode. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That turkey has popped.
And you're going to find yourself saying that now.
Yeah, I know. I was going to do it at the end of the episode to go, hey, Tina, did the turkey up at the top yet? Because I know your husband's cooking one. So,
yeah, that's true. He is. I didn't thought of that. That's funny.
Email us feedback questions at youleadingyou@gmail.com or like our Facebook page at You Leading You. Thank you, because from organization evolves success.